My name is Mick. I'm the church leader here. So we're in the month of September, and it's welcome. And so from me, the church minister, church leader here, welcome to you all. If you're new, not so new, nearly new, or secondhand. I thought that was my best joke of the morning, and it went flat. I'm struggling already. I'll do that one again. So if you're new, nearly new, not so new, or secondhand, welcome. Oh, God, help me now. This is getting worse. So it's great to see you. So that's where we are. And we're going to move on to this day. We've been looking at what it means to be the church, looking through Acts of the Apostles. And we've looked at last week was the theme was? Kindness. You're on the staff. You should know it. Kindness, that's right. Thank you, Eunice. And before that, it was no staff entering. What was it before then? 2 weeks ago, begins with C, it's a group of people gathering together. A cuddle, it was actually, but never mind. A community, that's right. Good to see you. Everybody's learning from the Bible in this place. That's good. So it was community. And this week, we're going to look at what it means to meet God. We meet God. If we don't meet God, we might as well stay at home and watch Andrew Marr, because there's no point coming. The point of the whole exercise is to meet with God and to see God change our lives and the people around us. That's the whole point of the exercise in turning up. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Before I do that, we're going to read the Bible passage in a few moments. Trisha and I have been here since 2001, and we've seen fantastic things, a whole new church. We were about 150 and something like that when the church has multiplied down to Philly. We're at just about 1,000 again now, and that's amazing. Well, actually, we came here to join our good friends, Mike and Sally Breen, who did an incredible job of turning the church around. So, and Sally's been, I'm not going to embarrass her, Sally's been here for a week visiting Libby and Gavin and the family who are now with us in the church back in the UK. So I just want to say in front of everyone, and record this, we are so grateful for the pioneering work they've done. They went to the States. They've done great work over there. And I just want to honor them before everyone here this morning. Mike and Sally Breen. Let's give them a round. I'm just really thrilled that Sally's been here this week. Okay, we're going to look at the Bible now. And by the way, Mike's a great golfer, but I taught him all he knew about golf. I played golf with him once in America. We went around this amazing golf course with a millionaire. And I lost 12 golf balls. He said, at the beginning, he said, it's no issue, have fun. You know, just have fun. I'm a cricketer, you've got a natural swing, it's fine. My natural swing worked eventually, but up to that point, I was losing golf balls everywhere. He said, it's not an issue at all, don't worry. We've got boxes on the buggy. We got down to the last box, and he then said, if you lose any more, you're in that water finding them. Sharp me up, and landed it 9 inches from the hole. It was extraordinary. John Lovell was there, who's here. John Lovell was my coach, my golfing coach, and he just said to me, we're not paying for the balls, lose as many as you want. So there we go. So, how do you meet with God? We're going into Acts chapter 4. It's going to be on the screen. I'm going to read it from here. Context is, church has begun. Acts, people have been waiting, Acts chapter 1. Spirit has come at Pentecost. It's all kicking off on the streets. Imagine you're in Crooks. People leave the building here. There's people on right up to all the way up the high street, down into Broom Mill. People are hearing the story. Something's happening up in that place. Peter, the leader of the church, stands up on the steps outside the Ball pub, starts to speak, and 3,000 come to faith. That is about 28 to 30% of the parish of Crooks. So in one day, nearly a third of the parish comes to her faith in Christ. 3,000. That's what happened. It's extraordinary. You've got to put it in that context. We deal in ones and twos and fives. The Bible doesn't. It does. It always meets with the individual. But the Bible never mentions, and three people came to faith. And two families joined the church. The Bible, when it mentions numbers, says 3,000 came to faith. 5,000 were fed. 4,000 were fed, and that was only the men, not the women and the children. The Bible talks in thousands when we talk in tens. Remember that one, okay? The Bible is a multiplication word to us. Really important to remember that. So, it's all kicking off. People are coming to faith. Peter and his mate John, we heard last week, go to the prayer meeting. And on the way outside on the steps, there's a lame man, a beggar, and he gets healed. And then what happens is the blues and twos, the blue flashing lights appear, the police arrive and arrest them for healing someone. Bear that in mind. That's actually what happened. They heal someone, they get arrested and taken in front of the authorities, the men in suits. And they finally get released, and then they go back to the prayer meeting, and this is where we are right now. So, as soon as Peter and John were let go, they went to their friends and told them what the high priests and religious leaders had said. Hearing the report, they lifted their voices in a wonderful harmony in prayer. Ding, harmony in prayer. Sometimes here we sing in the spirit. If you never try that, give it a go. I mean, just let your voices go sometimes. Because this is what they were doing. So often in the church, we do mumble in prayer. There is no mumbling in heaven, remember that. You guys in the balcony, you're nearer to heaven. You need to get trained up quicker. You're going to get there before us. If the Lord appeared right now, you get there one nanosecond before the rest of us, because you're nearer. So there's no mumbling, because they're lifting their voices in a wonderful harmony in prayer. And they said this, "Strong God, you made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them." That's not a bad kind of opening line, is it? Strong God. Some Bibles say sovereign Lord. The actual original word is master. Very particular. The one who has complete authority and power over every situation. That's what the actual word in the original means. Strong God. Let's do that on three. We're going to say strong God after three. One, two, three. Strong God. Love it. Strong God. It sounds better than sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord, kind of like, it's a bit like the feudal system, isn't it? You know what I mean? Sovereign Lord. You know? One of those things. But strong God is, come on. It's a bit northern, isn't it, I think? Strong God. Yeah? It's a bit of a northern accent. It's a bit of Sheffield accent in this. All right. So we're not going to have strong God. We're going to have strong God. All right? One, two, three.
Strong God.
Love it. I'll take you with me on my tour. Strong God, you made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. By the Holy Spirit, you spoke through the mouth of your servant and our father David. Setting the context there. Why the big noise, nations? I love Eugene Peterson's The Message. Why do the nations rage, it says in the NIV Bible. But Peterson said this, why the big noise, nations? Big noise. Why the mean plots, you people? Earth's leaders push for position. Potentates meet for summit talks. Is this not modern? Is this not modern? Potentates meet for summits. Let's have a summit. Let's discuss things and do nothing. Potentates meet for summit talks. The God deniers and the Messiah defiers. Do you not like that phrase? The reason I chose the message reading for this is that one phrase. The God deniers and the Messiah defiers. They get together and they start to plot against God, the big God. For in fact, they did meet Herod and Pontius Pilate, who were the leaders, who were the kind of symbolic figures of the God deniers and Messiah defiers. Herod and Pontius Pilate met with nations and peoples, even Israel itself. met in this very city to plot against your son, your holy son, Jesus, the one you made Messiah, to carry out the plans you long ago set in motion. Now, we know this because we've lived 2,000 years after this story. You've got to remember, in the midst of this time, this story, this is quite, they're stating the facts, but then prophetically stating what's going to happen. We know it happened because we know it happened. It's history. But they didn't know that. And so all these people are plotting against this new movement about the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. This is so modern. Nowadays, it's a bit more subtle. Can we go into the schools and talk about Jesus? No. Says it here, the God deniers and the Messiah defiers. I read just out this morning a report on the from the BBC, commissioned by the BBC. Over 2,000 people were contacted. Do they believe in miracles? 3 out of 5, 60% said yes, the majority of whom were 18 to 24s. However, 50% did not believe that Jesus performed miracles. Dot, dot, dot. Well, who the heck performs miracles then? I mean, where do they come from? A bag? I don't know. Where do the miracles come from? And so there is a sense that people believe in something else, a miraculous breakthrough, but actually do not believe that Jesus, who we call Lord, big God, actually performs miracles. So, what happens next? Let's just have a look here. And now, they're at it again. They've been at it for 2,000 years, dear friends. Take care of their threats and give your servants fearless confidence in preaching your message as you stretch out your hand to us in healings and miracles and wonders done in the name of your holy servant Jesus. So they've prayed this prayer. God, come on. They're at it again. Come on, God. Break in. And the only way they will recognize it's you is a miracle or two and some healings. What happens after this is miracles and healings. While they were praying, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word with fearless confidence. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, we'll do that again. The answer is, thanks be to God, we're going to make even the Baptist, put your hand if you're a Baptist. I'm going to make you an Anglican, honorary Anglican in the next few moments, okay? The answer is, thanks be to God, okay? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Love it. Praise God. Now, what does all that mean to us? Well, I'm going to get the camera on, and we're just going to have a little turn that off. Look at this. There we go. Focus, focus. There we go. Near enough. Now, I thought about how I'm going to just put this across so that we can understand what's happening. And I thought this was the best way. So what we got, you may need to zoom in a bit more on this. Here, that way around. I'm going to save time. So here's one I did earlier. If I can get it around. No, I can't. That way. There. So down here, can you zoom in a bit more on that, please? That's near enough. Thank you. Down here is the prayer meeting 2,000 years ago. Okay? When I drew it, I thought it does look like the cop at Bramall Lane. Kind of, you know, come on, Billy Sharp. Billy, Billy, Billy Sharp. Okay, you don't know who that is. Okay, that's fine. So that's the prayer meeting then. And we've got our own prayer meeting here. Every time we gather on a Sunday, that's all the keen ones on the front row. There's never as many as that on the front row, but I'm kind of using artistic license here. But the further back we go, near the back row, it's packed. There we go. Because that's what happens in churches. Let's fill up from the back. There we go. Then we've got the balcony. Kind of there. We've got the TV screen, and we've got the clock. And we've got the holy ones in the balcony. The ones who are nearer to God. There we go. We love them. Fantastic. So all through there, that's the balcony. These are kind of like that. And then we've got the church roof. There. That's us. Okay? We're in the prayer meeting. In our prayer meeting. They're in theirs. We're in ours. And what we're looking for, are you with me with this? Okay. Now, I'll give you a top tip. I'm going to need some interaction. Okay? There's a slight sense of people falling asleep here. So I need some interaction here. Tim, are you with me on this? Praise God. Eunice? Yeah. Hallelujah. I love having you guys here. Okay. What they're looking for is this. They're all looking for breakthrough. We're all looking for breakthrough. Pause. 1 minute. Where do you need breakthrough in your life right now? Work, home, health, future, finances, football team, whatever. Where do you need breakthrough? A God breakthrough. Something to change. As you look around, where is it? Now, you might come out and say, well, it's not for me, but for the nation. But what about you? Where do you need some breakthrough? If you could have one breakthrough in one way, what would it be? I'd love you to share that with the person next to you. If it's really personal, you don't want to, just say, it's really personal, I don't want to. Okay? Maybe that's fair enough, isn't it, really, like, you know? And if they go, well, mine's really personal, I want to, then just sit and contemplate for the rest of the time, okay? Okay, remember that. You see, when you hear the word of God, you have to work hard with it. What we've done over the years and the decades in formal churches, we expect the person at the front to do all the work. That is not the way it's planned. We hear the word of the word of the Lord. We hear the scriptures. We see them read. We hear them read. And our job is saying, what are you saying to me, Lord? Every single person in this church this morning wants to see breakthrough. If you don't, you're not a human being. All human beings need to see some breakthrough in some way. It might be very small. It might be massive. Breakthrough comes through revelation. Breakthrough comes through revelation. So we all want this, and it comes through revelation. It comes through that moment when we say, wow, God is real. This has happened. I prayed, and it happened. That's revelation. You will never get breakthrough without revelation from God. It just doesn't work. You sing as many songs as we like and listen to as many sermons as we like. It's a personal thing where revelation needs to come in our lives. Now, how does that revelation come? I've seen so many people over the years saying, I pray and pray and pray for breakthrough. I prayed for breakthrough. It doesn't happen for me, Vicar. Because it doesn't work like this. This is how it works. Write it down. Tell it to your children, your grandchildren, and anybody else. Before breakthrough, you need to have a break-in. You need to have a break-in. God needs to break in. Nearly. God needs to break in. Can you imagine, Ruth? That's it. Perfect. God needs to break in, and he only breaks in one way, and that is through invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them. Book of Revelation. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you... The answer is rest. Let me do it again. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, And I will give you rest. And the word rest is peace, shalom in your life. We have to ask God to come in. You'll never get breakthrough unless you get break in. Now, God's not a burglar. We'll leave the doors open. We open the door of our life. Now, when you open the door of your life to God, aha, you open the door of your life to God. You can't go, God, I want you to come in this bit. God, you're not allowed to go into that bit. And God goes, I'm God. I know all the bits. I made you. I know all the bits. I can see it. I need you. You and I have to personally ask him to break into our lives. Now, why doesn't that happen? Because the church in our nation, it doesn't tell people this. Everything is private. It's my private faith. It's not. It's personal, but it's never private. The Christian faith is never private. And we've done it by saying, I come and take my communion. I've come for my prayers. Rubbish. It's our communion and our prayers. I'm always saying to the staff team here, when you stand on a platform, don't use I, use we. I want this to happen now. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to pray. I is me. We is us. We are community. And these guys were community. They lived in community. They were community in their prayers. The church, not this church, this church is amazing, but the church in our nation seems to be so often groups of individuals who come together to do their thing. But if we ask God to break in by invitation, we will start to see the breakthrough in all kinds of ways. Now, how does that happen? Very quickly, what they said was this. I'll do it in this one. They said this. Big God. That's what they said. When we pray, when you pray, pray big God, sovereign Lord, master. Name him, big God. Big God, I want you to break into my life. Big God, I want you to break into our family. Big God, break into our church. Big God, just come and break in to our nation. We need to be praying break in rather than praying breakthrough. Because when we ask him to break in, I guarantee you there will be a breakthrough without a shadow of a doubt. The breakthrough comes with the break-in, a godly break-in. Okay, but it doesn't stop there, because they went on and prayed for something else. They prayed and prayed to Big God, and Big God turned up, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Yep, that's what the Bible said. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon them as they prayed to Big God. They didn't stop praying. They just kept worshiping and praying and worshiping and praying. And sometimes, so often again in our nation, we come together as church and we go, there's a prayer meeting. How long does it last? Half an hour. Half an hour? How much time do you think I've got? I've got a busy life, mate. I can do an odd 2 or 3 minutes. Send me an email and I'll pray if I've got time. It's no wonder we don't see any breakthroughs. When we start to pray, big God, come on. Come on, Lord, into our work with our children in our schools, with our teenagers in schools. Big God, less than 1% of university students are now have a Christian affiliation. It's disgraceful. We have let the students in our nation drift into oblivion spiritually. I tell you something, when we get to heaven, God's going to kick some backsides. We need to start repenting and doing something about it now. And it's the same with our teenagers. But it's not too late. If we start to pray, big God, send the Holy Spirit into my life, into our family, and into our church. Because then what happens is something else comes. All right, it's a bigger one, this one. Something else comes. And what comes, if you do that, It will bring that. And if you do that, you cannot stop the next one. You cannot stop it. Even if you want to, if you go, whoa, 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 this is getting out of control. I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for this. Because you will get, you must get a breakout. You must get a breakout. The Spirit breaks out. It happened on the day of Pentecost. It happens in revivals throughout history. There is a breakout. Is there a breakout at the moment? No. Why isn't there a breakout? Because we're not seeing the breakthrough. Why am I seeing the breakthrough? Because we need to see the break-in. Acts is full of breakout. Church history is full of breakout. And you know, at the moment, I think the church is trying its best. You know, I go to meetings with, I'm a Church of England minister, and the church is really good. People are trying their best, but nothing, we don't seem to get the breakthrough, because I think we need to see more of the break-in. If we invite the Spirit to come, he will come, but he comes on his terms, not on my terms. And so often, we want the new wine, but we want to put it in old wineskins. Lord, revive the church. No, reform the church. No. Renew the church. No. Just encourage the church. Lord, bring us four people. We like wind it back. It doesn't work like that, because a breakout always is reformation. When the Spirit breaks out, the Spirit reforms. Leadership does this. It calls the people to pray and invites God to break in and sort stuff. We don't want that kind of worship. Tough. He does. Get over it. Move on. It's interfering with my kind of church. It's his kind of church we're doing, not yours. Break in. We will see the revelation of God. And we are seeing it. There's new ways of church. The fastest growing churches in our nation are the black majority churches and the new Pentecostals, Hillsong and places like that. And the Anglicans through the HTB, a Church in London network. There is new stuff coming through. But you know what? For us here, I think we definitely are going to start praying more of this, to this, to this. Because what you get in the end is this. Boldness. But the word in the Bible actually means this. It's they were filled with a fearless confidence. A fearless confidence. That's what they had. And that's what we need, dear friends. A fearless confidence. And I see so many church leaders, and I see young people who we train here. They come on a platform and they're nervous. I understand that. After the third time, get over it. You need a fearless confidence to stand in front of 6 people or 6,000 people. It's a spiritual thing. When we're in our workplaces, at the photocopier, oh, I don't know if I can do that. You need a fearless confidence in you so you can say, how are you? Can I pray for you and your family? I know your family are not well at the moment. I'd love to pray for you. Oh, yes, say a prayer for me in your church. No, I meant now. While we're doing copying this report, I'll pray for you now. We need a fearless confidence in our schools to speak about Jesus. We need a fearless confidence when we speak to school senior teams. Liam Brennan is the master. He's on our staff team, youth church leader. Goes in, has a wonderful working relationship with the schools. A fearless confidence. And that, dear friends, is what has been lacking in the church for too long. We have a fearful lack of confidence. don't say anything about church or God or Jesus because it's not PC. Ooh. Now, you may get thrown out of town. I don't think you'll be put in prison. Don't think so. Not yet, although it may come in this nation. But you may be not invited to the coffee club. But I'll tell you something, we'll see the breakthroughs we're looking for. Lord, we're going to sing a song at the end about the sun setting us free. My prayer is, we're meeting tomorrow. The leaders are meeting tomorrow. Let's move back to the slide, please, if I can, on here. And so this is what we've been looking at. Oh, it will do when I turn the thing on. Ruth, could you just take it on for me? A breakthrough. We need God to break in. And after that break in and breakthrough, we will break out. Get ready, because next year and this term we're going to start, you'll see a lot of this logo, STC Grow. And this is a new, it's not so much a course, we're going to do it for a whole year, building on all the foundations that have gone over the past 15, 20 odd years, life shapes, huddles, clusters, missional communities. 74% of our church are in midweek communities. It's amazing. But we're going to give this one massive throw. We're doing resources now. We're going to do it as a whole church. We'll come together, I think, next month or the month after. You've got the date down. We're going to do a whole church Saturday morning like we did a few years ago and a whole church Wednesday evening. And we're going to explain what's going to happen. This is going to be done through small group communities and also online. There's going to be resources online. We're going to invite the whole church to be part of STC Grow. Resources to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. Basically, it's discipleship. That's what we're doing. It's going to be by invitation. You're going to have to sign up because you have to want God to break in. There's no point sitting in a group going, oh, I don't know if I agree with this. We only want people who want to see this happen and see the breakthroughs in your life, that you get healing and you could be the person who brings healing to others, that you see the breakthroughs. And as you do that with others, the Spirit starts to break. I can't do this for you. We have to ask God to break in. And you know, sometimes I see so many people and I just think disappointment and whatever holds us back. Lack of recognition, being recognized for what we've done in the church holds us back. We need to lay it down at the cross. And this day we need to say it's the new beginning. What does God want me to do? What is my part in the breakthrough? And I need to ask God to break in at the end of this gathering. Come for prayer. Come and squeeze in on the red carpet. Ask God to break in. Because if he does, and when he does, you will see the breakthrough. But be ready, because you'll be part of the breakout. What a story to tell our children and grandchildren. I was there when the next phase of the breakout happened in Sheffield. And it's going to start here. In this place, with us as we follow him. Amen. Let's all pray together now for the Spirit of God to fall upon us now. Let's raise our prayers to heaven. Sovereign Lord, big God, come upon us now, God. Every family in this church, come, Spirit of God. Set us free for the new thing, God, that you've got for us.